Hey everybody, welcome to the big new show. Hello, 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 and welcome to the big new show with me, Ben Bailey. Of course, it's the big new show with Ben Bailey. I have to be here. This is episode number 14, everybody. The lovely and talented Emma Gleason will be here with me tonight, and we'll be hearing from Sparky the dog for sure. We also have a lot of other fun stuff lined up for tonight. We're going to go live from Vic's Bar like we always do, which of course is not live. And we're going to find out the answers to some weird questions. Number one, if you dropped your phone in a public latrine, not a toilet, a latrine, would you go in after it? Number two, can you ride a stationary bike and knit socks at the same time? The answers to those questions on tonight's exciting program, as well as a visit to the wise old man on the mountain, to the local comedy club. We got a real, live, actual clip in front of an audience for you tonight, which is awesome. We're, of course, going to take some viewer questions, like we always do, because you guys always have great questions. We are going to close it all out, of course, with Sunday, honoring some weird holidays like we do here on The Big News Show. This is episode 14. Let's do this. Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 14 of The Big News Show with Ben Bailey. That's me. And we're here live from Vic's Bar. Keep in mind, as always, when I say we are live from Vic's Bar, that we are not live from Vic's Bar. We are alive at Vic's Bar, and you are alive while you're listening to this. But
I hope so.
It's not all happening at the same time. That's really the only difference. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Big New Show, episode number 14. I am Ben Bailey.
And
next to me, of course, is the lovely and talented Miss
Emma Gleason. Sorry.
That's all right. We just found a new way to do it. Yeah. Usually we do that at the end, I guess.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is the 14th week that we've been doing this. It feels like it's the 175th. It is getting easier, though. I apologize. I shouldn't start the show by complaining about the show every week. Here we are again. So very unhappy to be here.
Come watch us do a show.
Blowing it up, folks. It is episode 14. And in honor of it being episode 14, I dug up some facts about the number 14.
Wow.
Is that weird? I just was like, you know what? I feel like I should have homework to do, so I'm going to do some homework. I just thought it was interesting because last week we talked a lot about the number 13.
We did.
And the fear of the number 13 and all that stuff that goes along with it. And people seem to be interested in that. And I thought that's interesting. Maybe there's something in the number 14 that we can talk about as well. And we're going to get to that in a second. But first, we're not going to keep you guys waiting. We're going to hit you with a cash cab drive-by. It's a cash cab drive-by, folks. That means it's time for you to drink your drink. Pick up your beverage, put it over towards your face, and pour some in the big hole in the middle. That's your mouth. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a toast. And I'm going to show you guys a new thing that I have for toasting in just a moment. But first, cheers, everybody. You've made it through another week. Way to go. Tomorrow's promise to no man. So you should be happy that you made it through another week. I am. Cheers to us and cheers to you. Doodly 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 do.
Cheers.
And first, before we get to the number 14 stuff, I have a gift here. I don't know how that's going to look on the green screen. It's going to vanish. It's going to be weird.
You can hold it in front of you, maybe.
Yes, that's what I have to do is put it right. Excuse me, Mike.
Close to your heart.
Excuse me, Mike. It's my friend Mike. It is a lovely, seemingly like pretty high-end, like kind of kick-ass Stella Artois beer drinking glass. Compliments of Mr. David Kowalski. Thank you very much, David. There's a pair of them, so I'll always have a clean one. Because Emma's not using them. Those are for me. But thanks, David. Really nice. Super
awesome
cool. Yeah, David Kowalski.
Very sweet.
Didn't buy his underwear, but he sent me a glass to drink out of. So here's what I'm going to do. And I think this might be very cool if we have the green screen behind it. it's a bad pour, but it's more about the shot than the beer at this point.
Nice.
The shot after the beer. And here I'm blocking my own face out completely. Oh, there we go.
Very
Cheers,
nice.
David. Thanks very much, man.
Oh, yeah, I heard that one.
A little bit of a slurp. Very nice. Anyone else that wants to send us a gift, cash. Just cash, please. But thank you very much just the same, David. So I learned a little bit about the number 14. I learned that 14 is the number of forgetfulness, whatever that means.
Huh.
I don't know what that means, but it's the number of forgetfulness. So good luck remembering that. Also, I didn't know forgetfulness had a number.
No.
I've been forgetful my entire life, whatever my age. It's not true.
Is that to do with numerology, do you think?
Perhaps.
Interesting.
What is numerology? That would help me in assessing that if I knew what numerology was. Do you know what it is? It's like the
study of numbers.
Study of numbers by definition, but
yeah.
In the tarot, the number 14 represents temperance, reasonableness, which seems like there's a better just reason. I think
it's
actually the noun form of reasonableness. I got this from this all came from the same place. It was a little thing that a kid had made for his mom. Reason and self-control in the tarot, which is like the soothsayer cards, right?
Numerology, just so you know before we get too far, is an ancient study that draws meaning from different numbers, number combinations, letters, and symbols in your life.
Do I see the word?
According to horoscope.com.
Pseudo-scientific?
Yeah, that's what Wikipedia's that's definition for the down says.
Pseudo-scientific. I like it. People feel differently about them.
Yeah.
But there's facts as well. For instance, a sonnet is a 14-line poem. Did you know that?
I didn't know that it had 14 lines. I knew it was a specific amount.
I didn't know that either. There are 14 pounds in a stone.
Right.
Which to me seems like depends on how big the stone is, honestly. 14 days in a fortnight, which is interesting. I think a lot of people here in the U.S. that are not familiar with the fortnight, they think it's a video game, which it is, with a different spelling. But they might think it was 40 days or...
Yeah,
not 2 weeks, not 14
days. I miss
days.
The like use of fortnight, like people not knowing what a fortnight is here. Fortnight's really handy. It's like instead of saying every 2 weeks...
I often want to say, what does fortnight mean again? Every other week. A fortnight is 2 weeks' time.
It's 2 weeks, so yeah. Right.
So in a fortnight...
So something can happen fortnightly.
Fortnightly, every other week. One and then not the other, and then the other.
Yeah, that takes a lot more to say that than fortnightly.
Right, a lot more than every other week.
Yeah.
I remember a kid would always be like, we have to read the whole thing. In one of my high school classes, a teacher would assign reading and he'd say, the whole thing? And the teacher would go, no, every other word. Smartass. A lot of teachers are smartasses. They like to call kids smartasses, but a lot of teachers are smartasses.
Yeah.
In a good way. Franklin Pierce was the 14th president of the United States. I had forgotten that. This is an interesting one. This is a word for a solid with 14 sides. A cuboctahedron.
Good God.
A cuboctahedron is a solid with 14 sides. It has 6 squares and 8 equilateral triangles. Well, I would assume that they would be equilateral. It doesn't have 8 triangles of varying shapes and sizes.
A solid with 14 sides?
Yeah.
So not a shape.
Yeah, like a thing that you might roll in a game that had 14 possible.
Oh, right. Like when we were playing Scattergories.
Yes.
We were away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a big dice.
Yeah, I don't know how many sides that one had, but
I bet like there's certain letters that are left off it, like Q and maybe Z and things. There's not so many.
Right, so it's not all the letters.
Yeah, so maybe that's like a good 20 point.
Maybe it was 24. Perhaps it was a dodecahedron.
Perhaps.
I know that's what everyone was thinking. But pretty interesting, right?
Mm.
A cube octahedron. If you guys need that, if you use that in a typical workday, I want you to write in and let us know what it is that you do. Vermont is the 14th state.
Okay.
Became so in the year 1791. I feel like you're bored of my new of my new segment. You're just kind of going.
Why? Uh-huh. Gave it away.
Okay. A hexadecimal. In hexadecimal, 14 is represented as E, which is another thing we definitely are going to need to know.
I don't even know. I don't know what that means either.
I don't know what that means either. I guess that means that in hexadecimal, 14 is represented as E. In binary, it's 1110. Here's another one. The moon waxes for 14 days and then wanes for 14 days.
Okay.
14 is the atomic.
That makes sense, because the moon cycle is 28 days.
Well, there you go. Part of it's waxing, part of it's waning. Who knew the moon was up to so much up there? 14 is the atomic number for silicon and the approximate atomic weight of nitrogen. In China, this was interesting to me, especially after last week's number 13 discussions. In China, the number 14 is considered unlucky.
Oh, wow. Okay, there we go. That's interesting.
Oh, thank God. Thanks, babe. Finally, something was interesting. That's very interesting, right?
It is.
So I wonder if they have 14th floors in the buildings.
Oh.
In China, or if they, and someone suggested this in the comments, some buildings just use the 13th floor for storage and things.
I saw that. Yeah.
I thought that was, I remember that being true.
Yeah, that's cool.
At a place, a hotel that I was at.
I also
had to go get my bike out of storage with one of the bellmen.
Yeah.
Which, here's a little fact of trivia. We had to move a Big Star's bike to get to my bike that was stored up there. Do you remember, do you remember whose bike it was?
No, I didn't know. I wasn't aware that I knew.
I told you when it happened.
Oh, this is during the time we've been together?
I just told you about it. This is when I was staying in a city, in a hotel in the city.
Yeah.
And then for a while we were shooting, and then I had to get my stuff, and I had to get my bike out of storage. Mm-hmm. And I just know I told you about it.
Oh, okay.
It was Lady Gaga's bike. They had to move her bike. It was leaning against my bike. And I was like, you know what, Gaga? I don't need your bike leaning on my bike, all right? I got to get my bike. That's what the guy told me, anyway. He was just yanking my chain.
Maybe it's someone different's bike every time.
Yeah. He's like, oh, here's a...
It's like, you know, that's a great way to like make people be more patient. You know, something in the way of them getting you what you need. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm not thinking of a good one. All I'm thinking is Michael Jackson, right? You know, Michael Jackson's order is just ahead of yours. Back when he was alive.
Interesting.
Yeah, just thinking, you know.
We just have to move Lady Gaga's bike out of the way and then...
Yeah. Sorry, just have to finish taking care of Tom Hanks and then I'll be right with
you. Yeah, then I'll be right with you. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, by the way, but I found out through an acquaintance who ran into them at a restaurant in Greece that Tom and Rita are big fans of Cash Cab.
Nice.
Thanks, guys.
Who's not?
I don't know. Just me, I think. The last thing I have about the number 14 is that something I knew, a golfer can carry up to 14 clubs in the golf bag at a time. You can't have more than that.
Hmm. Very interesting.
If you're competing, I mean.
If you like golf.
Yeah. I would assume you'd have to like it if you were even thinking about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, it's the 14th episode, so there's some stuff about the number 14. I hope you guys enjoyed that more than Emma did. And I think it's time to take a viewer question. It's viewer questions, folks. This is the part of the show where we take a viewer question and we answer it. Please keep in mind that Viewers are free to keep the questions once we've asked them. They're yours to keep.
Mm-hmm.
You got some interesting stuff over there?
Yeah. Gary Schakowsky.
Gary Schakowsky. A purchaser.
Schakowsky,
I think.
There's no W.
So then another one. It's Schakowsky.
Okay.
Then.
Yeah.
Purchaser of the big new show Bottle Opener.
Oh, right. Very cool. He was actually commenting on the number 13 thing.
And, oh, yeah? Is he the one who said the storage?
I believe so. Maybe that was someone else, actually.
But okay.
No, he was saying that he used to work at Subway, and sometimes people would come in, and their order would come to $6.66. And they would change...
The number of the beast.
They would change their order.
So they wouldn't pay $6.66.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He said this one lady like went on and on about how she was Christian and she would have nothing to do with that number.
Wow.
And he asked her. I thought it was a great question.
But she's okay with the cheese that they sell at Subway. Sorry, it's just funny to me that all the cheeses are the same. They're just in different shapes, basically. So,
oh yeah,
wow, it's a big religious thing for her. This woman,
yeah, yeah,
666. I wonder how she feels about the number 13.
Well, he said to her, "What do you do when you get to that page in the Bible?"
And she, her head
and
exploded,
and she just went silent. Yeah, and her head, she probably exploded on the inside. But it's like to me, it's about the intent. It's not about like
what a great question.
It's a number. It's,
like, I hope he really asked her that in real time and didn't just think of it later, like I often would.
Yeah.
Because that's a great question. If it's such a... Maybe there isn't that page in the Bible.
Yeah.
Maybe they just use it for storage.
I don't know. We don't have a Bible here. I couldn't check.
Maybe it says this page intentionally left blank. Which is wrong on so many levels. What a great response to that.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant.
I didn't mean to... poo-poo your food, Subway. I've had it once in a while if I'm out on the road somewhere and I can't find like a health food store, which is what I usually look for, or a place where I can get organic, super healthy
something,
foods.
Yeah, you can get
which people... The last place I went, the guy literally laughed at me for the idea of eating that way. But once in a while, I'm like, oh, there's a Subway, and I know what I'm getting there.
Yeah,
and I'm going, and I'm happy.
I have never eaten there. I'm weed intolerant, but
all right, there's not a lot on the menu for you.
No, there's not a lot, but the bread smells so good.
Some of those breads are damn good.
So enticing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I could see why people.
And when they say which kind of cheese do you want, I usually say two triangles and two circles.
It really is all the same cheese.
It seems very much like the same cheese. It's just in different shapes.
What do they do when you like say that?
They laugh or they just kind of...
And then just put that on.
Or just have no response at all.
Oh, yeah. They've been there too long.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that wasn't Gary's question, but his question was, he was wondering about the accidental ornithologist. What venue that it was filmed at, and what year it was recorded. He says he sends links of it to people all the time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Has it ever become a DVD with special features / behind the scenes stuff?
Wow, this is an in-depth question.
I would certainly buy it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wowza. Okay, so let's see how... let me get started on answering this plethora of questions.
Okay.
It is actually called... Road Rage and Accidental Ornithology is what it was initially called, which I'm pretty sure I taped on July 10th, 2011.
Wow.
That's... at the Skirball Center Theater at NYU in Manhattan, New York City.
There you go.
What were some of those other questions? It was super fun. It was a crazy night. I invited like everybody that I've ever known to it, and then I mistakenly said open bar at a club at the hotel, same hotel,
to celebrate,
and people cannot handle that open bar. People can't handle it.
A
lot of people vomited. A lot of people vomited. One guest, both friends of mine, one guest smacked another across the face. And people puked. And I was
wow,
like,
wow, you probably told me that, but I forgot.
You guys are out of control, man.
Oh, my God.
I had no idea it was going to be such a night for everybody.
Wow.
But it was really fun filming it. It was a little stressful. My friend William Stevenson, may he rest in peace, I asked him to come and do and MC the show and do the warm-up because he had this amazing thing that he used to do where he would explain how comedy goes and he would and what the audience was supposed to do. And he would say, he would kind of start, okay, so let's start off with a small, slow clap. And he'd get everybody doing it and he would go, kind of sounds like bacon frying, don't it? And it did.
Nice.
And we'd do this thing where he turned, and as he turned, he wanted them to build up the... after he gave him this great explanation. So I asked him to come and do that, and he came and he did not do that. I'm not sure why, if something threw him off or something, but he did like a bunch of masturbation jokes. And everyone was kind of uncomfortable, and I was in the back hearing it through a little speaker in the wall.
It was an audience of your family and friends.
Yes. I was like, oh, no. And while that was happening, I was realizing that the pants I had brought were, I don't know whose freaking pants they were, but they sure as hell didn't fit me. I couldn't get them on. They were too tight. I couldn't pull them up. They like were tight all over my legs. They were someone else's pants that I thought were my pants. I have no idea how I ended up with the wrong pants. But I could not put them on. So I had to run out of the building about a half an hour before the shoot and go and buy a pair of pants.
Oh, my God.
Which the only pants that they had that kind of fit me at this Armani store that was like down the block are the ones that you see in the video. And the waist fits and the length is right, but they are like three times the size of my legs. They're huge. They are like MC Hammer can't touch those pants. And that's why I'm wearing those in that. But then I went out and did the show, and it was great, and I had a great time. We had a great time. Those of us that remember, it was a great night. Some people don't. It was initially a DVD that had some extras on it.
Mm.
It had a little disclaimer about my lactose intolerance joke and how I
did it.
Wrongly stated that there were no cases of lactose intolerance in Africa. And it turns out it's actually a huge problem in Africa.
Yeah.
My joke was like, they will tolerate all the lactose we can send their way.
Yeah. Which is much funnier than...
That's what I said. I said, I'm sorry. I know that's true, but that's not funny. So.
Yeah, yeah. Truth is in no way the funniest thing.
Yeah. And there was also a song, a music video for a song that I wrote and performed.
That's right.
Called The Cash Cab Blues.
Mm.
Yeah, I wonder if I have that anywhere. We should probably put that out somewhere if I still have that.
Yeah.
I did it with this awesome guy, David Kolker.
Mm.
Awesome guitar player. And he and I and some of his guys from his band recorded it in a bar in the city one night. The Cash Cab Blues.
So cool.
Yeah, so it still is a DVD, but that stuff isn't on it anymore. It's just it's just called The Accidental Ornithologist. I think that answers. Did that answer all of those questions?
Yeah, yeah.
And then some.
Yeah, maybe at some point in time, we'll get the made again with all the original stuff on it. But
yeah, I have it. I mean, I know I have it somewhere.
Yeah,
we could put it out there. Or just put it on the YouTube channel.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Right, that's not a bad idea, right? I think it's time for another drive-by, folks.
Oh goodness!
Cheers, everybody. Time for you to drink your drink. Grab your drink, put it up to your face, and pour some inside and say, I toast me and you and everybody that made it through another week. Cheers to you guys, man. Take a sip of your beverage, be it whiskey, be it water, be it beer, or be it wine. I'll take a sip of mine. You take a sip of yours. What was my... Be it whiskey, be it water, be it beer, be it... Be it beer, be it water, be it whiskey, be it wine. You take a sip of yours, and I'll take a sip of mine. I just remember my stupid poem from last week. I know you guys, I hope you guys are happy about that. Good question, Gary, and thanks for buying the giant bottle opener.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a, it's not that giant, but it's like a giant bottle cap.
Mm.
Is what it looked like. Ooh. It's what it appears to be.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's right.
All right.
So I have some, I have a little bit of like what happened over the weekend kind of stuff because I went to Spokane, Washington.
It seems like it was a month ago already. It does seem a while ago.
I don't know. I'm just in one of those phases where time, I just, my perception of it is just not consistent.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I've just kind of gone back to work and I'm like on the road every other week and whatever, but I'm like, when was that?
Yeah.
I had a great trip, though. I flew to Seattle, and having flown all over these United States of ours, that is a long flight. I think that feels like, at least consistently, feels like the longest flight in the country is flying from New York to Seattle or the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
It just seems to take forever. You're fighting that headwind the whole way, pretty much every time you do it.
Yeah, it was more than 6 hours. I looked when you were flying and I was tracking you. It was like 6.5 almost or something.
Well, 6.5, they scheduled it, and I think in the end it took 5:40 something.
Oh, okay.
But it felt like, you know, it just went on and on and on. I guess we sat for a while before we took off.
Can you fly, like, from Florida?
You can, and I said, I was talking about this when I was in Spokane.
Mm.
And the manager of the club said, I said, I think it's the longest flight. And she said, I fly from Florida. And I was like, oh, well, that's probably longer. And no, it isn't.
How is that?
Because you're not fighting the jet stream the whole way.
You're kidding.
It takes about the same amount of time.
Wow,
it's right around
insane.
6 hours to fly there from Florida or to fly there from New York. Isn't that nuts?
That's nuts.
As soon as I said it, I was like, that's dumb. There's no way you're flying there more quickly from Miami.
Mm.
Which, you know, they would be a little bit longer, I guess, but not by much.
Pretty similar. Good God.
Yeah, but so it took a long time,
mm-hmm.
but I finally made it. And I stayed at this cool place called Cedar Brook Lodge, which is like, I had to stay over a night before I could get a flight to Spokane.
Mm.
Getting flights to Spokane was not super easy. I think flights overall are harder to book. There's less flights than there used to be.
Right.
Because they started back and were trying to keep the schedule up, but then they would have empty planes and canceling flights and all that. So.
And having issues with having enough staff, too,
yeah,
I
yeah.
think. That
Good
was
point.
When
yeah.
we were coming back.
Like
they were
so
saying,
many businesses.
Yeah. Flights have been delayed because they just don't have enough staff to fill them and clean them and stuff, which
yeah.
is
yeah.
crazy.
But yeah, I stayed at this place called Cedar Brook Lodge, which is like 1 mile from SeaTac Airport, which is Seattle-Tacoma Airport. It's closer to Seattle, I think, but a huge airport. And you go like less than a mile away from it, and you're at this place, Cedar Brook Lodge. You feel like you're in like a, not a rainforest, but like you're like in a very remote place. It's just, it's really very cool. And so I ended up talking to some people that were working there. And they had it rough. They have 3 giant buildings, and they were down to 1 building open and like 12% occupancy in that building. And they're coming back now.
That was during.
That was during the pandemic.
Pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right next to that huge airport, and they were like at 12%.
Wow.
But so, it was a cool place. They told me a little bit about the history of it, that it was built by Washington Mutual. But then they went under and got rescued or taken over by J.P. Morgan and then Chase. And then Chase was like, we don't need.
Oh, my goodness. Sparky Barky is howling. Very mournful howl.
There. The shotgun mic is working. It's okay, Sparkle Bark.
Oh, Puppy.
Sorry, Puppy Pups. This just in, folks. We interrupt tonight's broadcast to bring you this breaking news. Sparky the dog, is currently howling upstairs. He's a howling pup. Sorry, Sparkle Boy. We'll be up in a little while. We're just doing a show, man.
I
just putting on a show for the people.
I took some photos for everyone today.
Oh, nice.
When we did working from home, I regularly used to show photos of Sparky when I was in charge of putting them up on the screen. And I haven't in a while.
So. You got a new one for today?
Yeah.
All right, I'll mark it down and we'll show you guys. Oh, I love this one. This is Sparky's recent habit of using pillows like human beings might. It's pretty great. Anytime a dog acts a little bit human,
yeah,
like more than ever, more than usual, I should say, it's very funny to me.
Yeah. So that's him in the TV room.
There he is.
Just
like he pulled that pillow up there on purpose, just to prop him.
And it looks like he's got the remote, like he's watching something too, which is what's like really. And he's got his blanket there. He looks all cozy and comfortable. He just was looking at me like, what, when I went in.
He does watch stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes he's watching on that screen. You can see him.
Yeah. Especially if there's any animals. Yes. Yeah, but sometimes just certain people he just gets fascinated by. And just
yeah.
Really.
Or sometimes a cartoon of a dog.
Oh, my God.
What was the one show? It was a fake. Someone had like a fake dog. It was the Goes Wrong show. It was like terrible fake dog.
Oh, yes.
And he was going crazy.
Was
like, dude, really? That fooled you?
And remember there was a movie I was watching and the woman pretends to be a dog. She's like pretending to go mad or something.
Yes,
and being silly.
That's right.
And she gets down on the ground and she starts like barking like a dog and carrying on. And I was like, oh my God, clearly she's doing a good job, because he like jumped up and ran over and was all. I think he was barking at her. He was more than looking.
He was.
Yeah.
I think he had a little thing for her. But so, just to finish that up,
yep.
Cedarbrook Lodge, built by Washington Mutual, because they did tons of business there and might want to have a nice place to put people up, they go under, become part of J.P. Morgan, then become part of Chase. Mm. And Chase is like, we don't need a hotel in Seattle. We don't even have offices in Seattle.
Oh.
So they sold it to a group of investors, largely the Wright family, who own the Space Needle.
Oh. Wright, Wright as in Wright Brothers?
Spelled the same, but not actually.
Not
connected.
Descendants of?
I don't think so. I feel like the person who told me all this would have told me that if that were part of it too, but you never know.
Maybe they just assumed you knew, like, you know, sometimes when something's so well known in an area, they think that everybody from everywhere else knows. Like when I
Well, I feel like this is one of those things, could be one of those things for people that live in Seattle, by the
right.
Way. Oh yeah, the Wright family.
Like when I first moved to the US and
Joe Piscopo.
Oh, well, that's a good one.
Yeah. Sorry, that's what I thought you were going to say.
No, go.
But wait, so the Wright family.
Sorry.
Very interesting to me. They own the Space Needle.
Yeah.
I'm just like, really? Some people just own that? Like, that's their thing? Yep, that's ours. How did that happen? They just had the land built a giant needle?
Isn't there, like,
anyway,
things in it? Like, offices and...
There are, and then there's like
restaurants and stuff.
Yeah, there's stuff at the top. Okay. It's like a property, I guess, like any other. But I would have thought it was owned by the city or something.
Right.
But it's just it's owned by a family who, by all accounts, are like super nice, humble, great people.
Cool.
Like the kids work at the hotel and stuff.
Oh,
sometimes
nice.
And like.
Very
anyway,
cool.
I just thought that was really interesting, and the place is nice. If you ever had a layover, if you ever have a layover at SeaTac, I highly recommend Cedarbrook Lodge.
Cool.
It's very cool.
Right,
like I was roaming around in the grounds. It was beautiful. And I actually have a couple of pictures too. I guess I could put those up.
Nice.
Really nice. And I was like, saw a bunch of steam rising in one area. I was like, that could really only be one thing. And I went and I peeked my head over the fence and yes, it was a hot tub.
Nice.
And there was a person in it. I'm like, it's not only do they have a hot tub, but it's still open. So I went and sat in the hot tub. It was a great way to start my trip.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I know you love a good hot tub.
I do. They're never hot enough
for
me on the road.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to a crazy hot one here. But I do love them. They're so good for your muscles and relaxations. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But so that was a pretty good start to the trip. Even though the flight was long, the hotel was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Little shuttle ride. It was interesting. I called to set up the shuttle.
Yeah.
And they were like, and this often happens if you're arranging a car service or whatever. They're like, when you first get to the spot and then you tell them and then call and then we'll come and get you. I'm like, so I called them. I'm like, yeah, get to a certain spot and then call us when you get there and tell us where you are. I'm like, why don't we just pick one ahead of time and then I'll go there at the same time that you're going there and I won't have to stand out in the cold and wait. And there was like some silence on the other end and then, okay. Okay. I'm like, all right, so you pick. So she says 1D and I'm like, all right, there's probably going to be, who knows how many there will be, but I got there and I couldn't believe it. There was like 1A through E and then the same for 2, 3, 4, 5. Like there was just all just for shuttle, for hotel and parking shuttles.
Goodness.
There was like 40 different stops. I'm like, wow. Oh my God. No wonder they want to be careful. People just tell them, yeah, we'll meet you at the shuttle bus stops. Like, yeah, that's a mile long stretch of road there. But they were very nice there, and I went and stayed there, and then flew to Spokane the next day, which was, like all of these flights of late, windy and bumpy, and it's kind of sucking. It's been, I don't know if it's true across the country, but it sure seems like it. It's just been really windy lately.
Yeah, yeah.
It is raging planet out there, so a lot of bumpy landings, and I don't enjoy those.
Yeah, it seems like everyone you talk to says it's been windy.
Yeah. That's just windy on Earth now.
It might be, yeah, all around.
I hope that's not true. This golf is going to be so much harder. That is by far the, far from being the worst consequence of it.
Mm-hmm.
But so, yeah, I went to Spokane. I did four shows. It was a great time, man. It was really fun. People were a little drunk. There was a drunk woman at each early show. It was interesting.
Same
each,
one?
No. Each of the early shows, the
they
Friday.
They had their own individual drunk women.
Yes, yes. And I thought the woman on Friday night was really drunk until I saw the woman on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Like, she was literally, apparently she was like, I can't. They were telling her she had to leave, and she was going, I can't move. I can't move.
Wow.
The woman. What? And so she's just like sitting with her back to the stage, right next to the stage with her back to it, and yelling stuff out for the openers, calling stuff out, laughing at the wrong time, and like then saying stuff. And they both are warning me about, yeah, there's a woman right to the left. I'm like, oh, she's on the left tonight. But none of it was too bad.
So
both the
so
early
did they
shows
get her
were,
out of there? Like
No. They I guess they decided that it was
she said she couldn't move and they didn't want to physically
they didn't want to like drag her out. Maybe they got her out toward the end, but like she was there for a while. And there was a point where it was like if I felt like the audience and I were kids playing while their parents were having like a really quiet but very serious fight. You know, like there was some heavy shit going on right here, and it was like, okay, that's not happening. We're all
wow.
having fun over here.
Who
you know?
Is like audience members or that
this,
was
the
with
super
the...
drunk woman and the manager and the bouncer
God.
Were like all like head to head to head, and her husband, and he was like in this weird position, leaning. It was fucking weird.
That can't be a fun job having to wrangle the drunks. I mean, I
no.
know
oh,
I know
God,
enough
no.
about wrangling drunks from working at the bar.
Yeah.
For all that time, but like during with a live performance going on, it's.
Yeah, it wasn't fun, that part, and it sucked for them more than it did for me. For me, it was a little annoying, and for people that were around them, I think it was probably very annoying.
Mm.
That's the thing that people don't consider when they're doing that. It's like the other people around you are,
yeah.
like, they're here for the same reason you are, to see the show.
And they paid just as much to see it.
Yeah.
And
the weird part is, you know what, that's not actually always true. Sometimes it's these people that pay for, like, a VIP. So they get there early, and they get they get a drink included, and they're seated in the first five rows or at these certain tables. And so, like, they're like, I went all out, and so tonight's my night.
So
you
it's
know.
All about me.
A little bit, yeah. So
Jeez.
That's the hardest part about dealing with that is that the people are usually fans. Like, sometimes they're, like, your Uber fans. They're your biggest fans.
That's
and they're fucking everything up.
So surprising, but, yeah, so true from...
Yeah, and then it's like, well, oh... I don't want to yell at. I don't want to like.
I love you.
Yeah, they're just talking and ruining the show for a half an hour, and then they love you, and then they get thrown out and they cry. They sit at the fucking numerous occasions people have been thrown out because they've been so disruptive, and then they just sit at the outside bar and just cry. Like, what are you doing? You need to take a look at yourself, man. What are you doing?
They're like kids. They get overexcited and have too much candy at the party.
Yeah.
Now they're having too much to drink.
Oh, man.
Oh, probably been, excited about it for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had a really good time
just
in Spokane.
Just like your friends with the open
bar. Yeah, just like my friends.
Woo, it's so exciting.
Once in a great while.
Let's have another one.
Once in a great while, the person in the crowd that is fucking everything up turns out to be one of your friends. And I don't want to mention any names, but I'm going to. It's fucking Tony Batista, you son of a bitch. I'll never forget what you did to me. It was pretty funny. It wasn't that bad. And then I felt better about the things I said to him. Like, oh, it's my friend. I just made a total fool of him.
Tony is kind of famous through your stand-up.
Yes, he is. He's the cop. He's the cop. This cop
in the road rage story
is Tony, my good friend Tony. Tony Baloney. Or Tony Goodlooking. He's got a lot of different names.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah, I had a great time in Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
Apologies to the people that came to the early show Saturday that could not get in. People had bought tickets in advance and could not get in, some of them having driven pretty far. I'm not sure what happened there. Somehow that early show got overbooked and some people were left high and dry. So apologies. I just want to make sure that you guys understand that I had nothing to do with that. I don't even know how that happened, quite honestly.
Yeah, I guess.
Which is part of the reason that I, I don't like to do deals with the clubs that involve here's how much you make if you sell this many tickets.
Mm.
That would have been a disaster. Like, I don't know how we would have figured out our way around that.
Yeah.
70 tickets, more than they could handle, got sold for that show. Half of them were able to come to the late show, which was good.
Good.
But some of them, half of them were left without. They're going to get their money back, and the club handled it well, but there just must have been a mix-up somewhere.
Yeah, and it's a big inconvenience and
yeah,
whatnot.
Oh, I felt bad. I really did.
I'm sorry, hon. It sucks.
But the shows were great fun. Spokane is fun.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? Go ahead.
My explanation for all these things at the moment is that everywhere I go, places seem to be understaffed,
and the staff that they do have are new.
A brand new. And
haven't done it and didn't want to do it. In a lot of cases, it seems.
Yeah, and if you're short-staffed and you don't necessarily have people to teach the new staff,
have a waiter for new waiters to follow around, that's how they learn how to do the job.
Yeah.
Which is not an easy job. I've always thought, like, being a waiter should command more respect. It is not an easy job. People expect a lot of you.
Yeah.
And you're getting your rewards based on it. Like, in real time, it's a tough job.
Yeah, I never wanted to wait tables. I always thought bartending was easier.
I feel like everyone that wants to go out and eat as a patron should wait tables for like a month in their life, just so they see.
Yeah.
Like if I'm out with somebody I know and they're being rude to the wait staff,
mm-hmm.
just like not awful, but just not saying thank you or please. I'm like, you
treating
never
them like they're not a person.
You never worked at a restaurant.
You know.
If you did, you would realize that that's a person you're talking to and not someone who's just here to satisfy your every little desire.
Or to me, like sometimes
bring me some mustard.
Yes.
Like,
to me,
that's not
even treating them as a someone, that's there for everything. It's like, it's like they're talking to an inanimate object.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're already annoyed with it.
Yeah. But, it's hard work.
It is hard work.
A
work that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I liked being a waiter.
I
liked bartender and stuff, yeah.
I liked having a bar between me and the people.
I can believe that.
It was good to be able to. I think I've told you, when I first moved here, I was staying with my older sister, and I really didn't have any money when I came, and I just was like, I just have to get a job straight away. And I almost took this job because she's like, okay, you can stay with me for a couple of weeks, but then you got to start paying rent.
Right.
And I was like, okay, my money's running out. And I nearly took a job that was being a shot girl selling jello shots at bars. And I just really didn't want to do it.
That doesn't sound like fun work.
Oh, no. And there was like dress code regulation. I had to wear a short skirt and like high heels. And I'm like, and I had to like go. We were living in Queens. I had to get on the train and it would have been like a 40-minute ride to go all the way downtown. They were in the financial district for some reason. Pick up
The place is going to be filled with a lot of really good guys.
No, this is before like I had to go to the office and like get the jello shots and take a roller suitcase with me and then go home and have enough room to store them in the fridge. And then they tell me where I was going to work and going to some bar. And
oh, you wouldn't know where even.
I went for the interview.
Like it could be any of a number of places.
Yeah, it could be.
Tonight you're going to. Oh,
it could be any of any place Shitsville. In the city that said, yeah, sure, we'll have someone come and sell jello shots and thought that would be good for their bar.
Right.
So then I was like, okay.
Interesting business plan there.
Yeah, and I had like no association with the bar. So I'm like, I don't know the bouncers. Like the staff don't know me. They have no loyalty to me at all.
Right, you're there on your own.
Yeah, and I have no protection. I'm walking around in, I think maybe it was high heel boots.
Scantily clad.
Or like just high heels and a short skirt and like a tiny little outfit amongst people who are drunk, offering them more alcohol. I'm like, this is just not.
And you're totally on your own.
Yeah.
And you're like collecting your own money.
Yeah. No,
giving your own change and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like.
And they're like, we'll give you
$8
an hour for
that. I'm out of money. But like they called me and said, yay, you got the job. And I said, no, thank you. I don't.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
I can't do it. I don't want to. And they were like, really? I was
yeah. Is it that surprising?
Yeah, and then I felt like the universe rewarded me for sticking to a level of saying I can't do this. I need better than this.
Yeah.
The very next day, I got a call from another job that I didn't think I was necessarily going to hear from, and they're like, "Oh, we'd like you to come in and train with us." Oh, thank God.
Oh, nice work, babe.
And that was Antarctica that I worked at for so long.
I know that place.
Yeah.
I met a girl there once.
Yes, you did.
So yeah, that was the whole of the Spokane experience. Good flights back. I had to combine airlines to get a quicker, shorter, and more timely flight back, which I did.
Yeah, because you weren't going to get back until 6:30 on Monday morning.
Oh, I was going to have to fly Spokane to Seattle, and then a red eye.
Yeah.
There was only two flights coming back. And it was either 6 a.m. or like 10:50 p.m. Like, oh, man, I'm not doing the 6 a.m. I will have been in bed for like 2 hours.
Right, yeah.
So I scheduled it the other way, and then I was like, wait a minute, maybe I can do one airline and then combine them. So I did. I flew Delta to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and then I caught United from there. And I was home by midnight on Sunday and realized, if I hadn't switched it up, I would still be in Seattle waiting to get on the flight.
Yeah.
And then I'd have that overnight. I was going to get home at 7:50 a.m. on Monday. I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't do
it. It was a bit of a gamble doing the two different airlines, but
it was. If the one was late, I would have been screwed. I would have been stuck in Minneapolis because there wasn't another flight after that one.
Yeah. But
but it wasn't late. The first one wasn't late, so I made it. So that's it for the Spokane stories, I guess. There's probably some other relatively interesting stuff that I forgot. But it was good. It was great to be back out on the road again.
Mm.
So much fun to kind of remember that that's what I do. Like, oh, yeah, this is my job. I like my job.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, and I saw some friends there. And
yeah, you weren't looking forward to the travel, but you seemed happy when you got there.
Yeah, that's as bad as it gets, like the longest flight followed by another short flight and you got to stay overnight. I'm like, oh, this is,
yeah.
It travels a little bit much, but Spokane is worth it. Oh, there's more to that story. I got an email a couple days before from a guy saying, it said, "Dear Ben, my son," and then in parentheses it said, "nonverbal." And I are big fans, and so this guy sent me an email saying, "Could my son and I come and meet with you?" Mm-hmm. He loves you. He said he loves you on TV, and so he also sent a couple of links to articles about them, which I read. And
that's interesting.
It's really interesting, kind of very, very touching story. The guy had lost his brother and was kind of lost when he was, you know, I guess in his 20s.
Yeah.
Early 20s is what I guess from what I read. I don't have all the details, but a client of his was fostering a baby who couldn't speak, couldn't hear, couldn't do much.
Wow.
Was very, very severely handicapped little boy.
Yeah.
Recently born. And
gosh.
The guy was introduced to the baby through knowing this client, and then he and met the baby a couple times.
Yeah.
The boy. And then went on a vacation, which he had planned to take some time off and try to go somewhere and try to work through having lost his brother. And he found that while he was on the vacation, he kept thinking about the baby boy.
Wow.
And so when he came home, I think he came back early from his vacation and went to the woman who was fostering the boy and said, I wanted to see him, you know. So he has this bond with this kid. And now he's grown.
Mm.
And he loves Cash Cab. He loves,
so
he
man,
loves me.
So the man adopted
He adopted
the
him.
Baby.
He adopted him, became his legal guardian, his dad, and he looks after him, and that's like his life. That's what he does, is he takes care of this guy.
Wow.
Who's 18 now, the kid, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He looks looks and seems a lot younger, but I think he's 8. I think he said he was 18.
Yeah.
I feel a little badly because I didn't totally understand what he was saying when he was explaining that to me. And I think he was trying to say, we want to come to the show, but he can't get in. And I was like, is he 8? Is he, how old is he? He had to be 18 to get in. And I didn't get a clear answer.
Right.
And then time had gone by, and then they left, and I was like, oh, I hope they weren't hoping to come to the show, and I let them down in that regard. But I sat with them, and I held his hand.
Yeah, you met them.
I met them, and we sat in the lobby at the hotel there, and, he got super excited.
Aww.
And just was like, grabbed my hand, and boy, did he have a grip. Oh my God. I was like, okay. But yeah, so that was like, and they brought me a little hat that says SPO on it for Spokane, and a t-shirt that says Spokane doesn't suck, which I thought was pretty great.
That's sweet.
And it was very nice to meet them, and very, very touching little world that I kind of touched on there for a minute,
yeah.
Sitting there, you know, like perspective giving moment.
Wow, yeah. Just hearing about it is.
Yeah, I mean, he's dedicated his life to that.
That's amazing.
He was very cool. Very cool to meet them. But so Spokane had some great moments for sure. The shows were super fun. Meeting them was very, you know, like I said, poignant, touching, and you know, afterwards, just kind of sitting and going, all right, you know, I see what my life is.
Yeah.
from a different angle.
Yeah.
A little bit, so.
Can appreciate.
But so up next on the agenda, we've got Summit City Comedy Club in Summit City, which is Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Mm.
That's May 6th and 7th, next weekend. We got Zany's Chicago, May 18th to 20th. Zany's Rosemont, which is kind of a little bit north in Chicago still, basically, on the 21st.
Mm.
DC Comedy Loft in DC, July 28th to the 30th. Fun little pub room in a hotel there that's kind of a fun place and a good hang. Had a great time there. DC Benny will be joining me in opening on those shows,
nice.
Which is great. Tacoma Comedy Club, August 12th and 13th. Ridley's Comedy Castle, November 11th and 12th, and Appleton, Skyline in Appleton, December 2nd and 3rd. Also, guys, if you're at the website, you might as well go up to the right-hand corner and click on that Shopify store link, and then it'll take you to the Shopify store. You can click the View All button, and you'll see all this great stuff. T-shirts, hoodies, notebooks, buttons, bottle openers, magnets, all
you
kinds of stuff.
You name it, we've got it.
Mugs, mouse pads, phone cases. I already said magnets and mugs and underwear and hats and, and the big new tote bag and beer cozies and pint glasses and blankets, more T-shirts, which I love. You guys, if you're regulars, you know what they all say. But please go to the site and pick something out and buy it, because it doesn't just help us. Percentage of the proceeds go to Share Our Strength. Mm-hmm. And a pound of plastic gets pulled out of the ocean for every order you guys place on our Shopify store. So it'd be great. We try to find stuff that you guys like and that you might actually want to buy. If you can think of something that you'd like to see on there that you don't see on there, let us know. Put it in the comments. And as some other viewers, listeners can attest to, I will make it happen.
Yeah.
I will put it up there. And you better damn well buy it if you suggest it and I put it up there. So
very cool, hon. You've done a great job with the shop.
Thank you. And people have bought stuff, which is like, I'm like, really? Okay, great. This is actually going to do some good. So... yeah, please, if you see something you like, or if you think of something you'd like to see, let us know what it is. And on that note, let's do another drive-by.
Okay.
It's a cash cab drive-by, folks. Time to drink
off?
Your drink. I already finished both.
Okay.
It's all just one beer, but there's nothing in the glass, and there's nothing in the... You know what? Maybe there's a little bit.
Do you want me to grab you another one?
Oh, my God. If you weren't every dude's dream girl that's watching the show, you are now. Do you want me to grab you another beer, sweetie?
I'll be right back.
Absolutely. It's a cash cab drive-by, folks. It's time for you to drink your drink and toast yourself. For you have gotten through some stuff that probably you didn't think was absolutely fantastic. I think we all deal with some stuff like that. It's just the way it is in the world. Just the way it is being alive, I guess. Sometimes shit sucks. Sometimes you just look around and go, ugh, what happened? This is not where I wanted to be right now. I feel like I'm fighting myself. Don't fight yourself, folks. And when I say that, I mean... for one thing, literally, don't punch yourself in the face.
That's a good start.
Yeah, that's a reasonable place to start. But I also mean, don't sabotage your good intentions that you have for yourself. Right? If you're trying to do something that you think is going to be better for you, like go to bed earlier or eat healthier, don't fight yourself. Just do it. Just do the thing that you have decided that you're going to do better for you. Don't make excuses. Don't punch yourself in the face, which is what you're doing. You start making excuses. Do the stuff that you know is good for you and right for you to do. That seems very vague, but I think you guys... do good stuff. You should do good stuff. Look at that. Another beer just appeared.
It did.
The beer angel brought it for me. Oh, boy. And now I get a proper toast with you guys for that drive-by there.
Nice. I am.
How do you feel about another viewer question, babe?
I feel just fine about it.
Okay, great. Let's do it then.
How do you feel about it?
Feel pretty good.
All righty.
Pretty good. Viewer questions, folks. This is where we take a question from a viewer and we answer it. And then we return it immediately. As soon as we're done answering it, you can have it back.
Okay.
And then it's yours to keep.
All right, so this is an interesting question. Ski.
Ski. Team Ski.
Of Team Ski.
Formerly Team Ski, now just Ski.
Yeah, asked.
Maybe it was pronounced Team Ski. I don't know.
Does
anyway,
that mean something?
No.
Okay.
Not that I know of. So Ski's got a question. All right.
Yeah, he said...
What up, Ski?
He asked me, actually, because, as you know, you weren't there on the live chat this last...
Yeah, that's right. I was traveling.
You were flying.
Yep.
He said, "Emma, can we have some footage of Ben playing hockey on a future episode?"
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Do we have anything? We have a clip. We have some video we could play for of that.
Do we?
Yeah. Just it's not me playing, it's just me skating.
Oh. Where's that come from?
Remember when your brother's wife, your brother and his wife sent me a jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that was from them, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Joe Nash?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we made a video for them of me skating. So we have some video of me skating, but not actually playing hockey.
Right.
And
okay.
you're apparently watching it right now.
Nice.
Look at me go. I'm forgetting that we'll put it in and it'll be playing at this point.
Well, that's interesting because, everybody was like assuming that I go and watch you play hockey, but I have never been.
That'd be interesting.
You. And I asked one of the other wives when we went out to, not that I'm your wife, but like. I asked one of the other ladies of your hockey partners. We went out to dinner with another couple.
One of the other hockey wives?
Yeah, and said, you know, have you been to watch it? She said, no.
She's like, what? Why?
And we were like, maybe we should go together sometime, but it's kind of late.
It is usually, it's late.
It's pretty late. Like, you go to hockey and I go to bed, usually.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, it's not a game, it's an instructional.
Well, it's a half hour. The first half hour is drills and instruction, mm-hmm. and then we play a game for an hour.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I've not actually ever seen you play hockey, which is funny. And I feel like I would be the only one watching, right?
You would, yeah.
And that's kind of weird.
There's nobody watching us, old guys, you know. It's funny because there'll be like high school kids or younger that have a practice beforehand, and so all the parents are there.
Oh, really?
I mean, they were pre-COVID and now again.
Yeah.
And then when we play, it's just completely empty. There's no one. And if anyone were around, they'd be like, wow, these guys are slow. But it still feels good to us.
Yeah, maybe.
Man, I love playing hockey. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
It is one of the best things in my life. I'm so glad I started doing it again.
That's awesome. So maybe we can get some footage.
I didn't score a goal on Tuesday night this week. I scored two. Super fun. A backhand and then like a crazy a wrist shot from the right side into the upper left corner. In like, I don't think the goalie ever even saw it. It's just like whap. And I was like, oh, wow. I just scored. Here's the best thing about scoring in hockey. It doesn't make any noise. If you shoot the puck and it hits the goalie's pads or the goalie's stick or one of the posts or the crossbar or the boards or the glass, it makes a noise. But when you shoot and it goes into the net, it doesn't make any noise at all.
Why is that good?
It's just a cool feeling.
Oh.
Just like you just hurled it really hard and it didn't make a noise, and that must mean, because often you can't see it. Often I don't even see if it went in or not until, you know.
And how do you know? Because it drops to the ground from there?
Yeah, like, you know, a
and
second later.
Inside the net.
The goalie, you see the goalie's down and the puck's like sliding out behind him.
Right.
It hit the net and fell.
There you go.
Anyway.
Cool.
It's just very cool. Super glad to be playing again. And yeah, maybe we can get some better footage. I don't know. We'll see.
It makes you happy.
It does.
It does. And like, especially hanging out with the guys after two, it's good socially as well as.
It is.
You get a lot of good exercise from it.
Yeah. And it was virtually all of my social outlets.
Mm-hmm.
It was the only one I really had during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And for some parts of it, that was gone too because the rink was shut down.
Yeah.
And it just became like even more important to all of us, I think, even though we already loved it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, as someone who works, I mean, on your own, I think it's nice to have something regular and social.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, even though you're around people, when you're doing the stand-up and on the road, you're traveling and you're not with the same.
I don't know those people
every week. Yeah,
these guys just know me as Hockey Ben. I mean, they know what I do and stuff, but you know, I'm just a dude they play hockey with, and that's nice.
Yeah,
and cool. I feel very lucky that, like, at my age, which you don't need to know what it is, I have like a new group of friends that I really like.
That's really great.
I feel very, very fortunate to have that in my life.
Nice. Not
all of you guys, a couple of you. No, great bunch of dudes and great game. As I've said to you many times, I would totally recommend to any person in my age group or age bracket to start playing some sort of organized sport again.
Yeah.
It's just such a great thing all around.
I think.
There's sometimes people take it too seriously and there's problems in that, but you can kind of steer around those to some degree.
Yeah. I'm sure people live longer who do.
I think you're right about that. I have no stats to support it, but I think you're right about that. Mm-hmm. I also think it's high time we did a weird news story.
Okay.
What has been taking so long? It's weird. It's wild. It's wacky. It's not Wednesday at all. It's not even close to Wednesday. But it's weekly. We got that part right. And it's worldly. It's Emma's Weird, Wild, Wacky Wednesday Weekly World News. That's not on Wednesday.
Nice. Okay. I wasn't sure if we're back or not.
Yeah, we're back.
All right.
And we're back.
Okay. So this is, this actually happened in Washington State.
Oh, okay.
Where you just were.
Nice. I wonder if it was in the inland northwest.
It was in a national forest.
Okay.
It doesn't say where exactly. I had another.
That's like the whole state.
I had another whole article about this, which had like more detail. I went to the Facebook report website about this.
Right.
And put it down. And then I hate on my phone, there's a little back thing, and I push it to sort of get out of pages.
And sometimes
and it doesn't
just
work,
like,
and I push it again, and it's not getting me out of it. It's undoing stuff.
Oh no!
I did that right before the show. I was like, oh no!
Awful.
So I think the other one might have had details
like,
of
redo, undo, redo. Oh no!
And I couldn't find a redo on there anywhere. So if anyone knows how to do that, can help me out.
All right.
Okay.
But so we're in Washington State in a national forest.
Yes. Brennan Fire Department.
Brennan.
And another one was called, it's a national forest northwest of Seattle, they say. Oh. This woman was at the top of Mount Walker.
Okay.
And I feel like I should start again because this is just all coming out really poorly.
No, it's fine.
Okay, so she goes to a
bus. You can recap if you want. Sorry, now I've thrown you off.
Should I just start?
Rather than starting again, you could just recap the facts that you've given us so far.
So
if you like.
This woman in her 40s went to one of the bathrooms there, you know, those pit bathrooms that they have in places like national parks and whatnot.
A pit bathroom?
Toilet.
A toilet?
Yeah.
Like just, a public toilet?
Yeah, but it's in a national park, so it's not plumbed. It's like...
Oh, it's a pit underneath it.
Yeah, yeah. Oof. And everything.
Oh, boy.
Right, so
a
they're
latrine.
Bad enough.
It's a latrine, right? Okay. So, yeah, now I have an accurate picture of the facility.
Okay. Okay, so she went to the toilet, and clearly she was using her phone or on her phone or holding her phone, and she dropped it in to the pit.
Oh, Slumdog Millionaire. Ouch.
Decided she needed it back, and she was going to go in and get it. She had dog leashes with her. I guess she had her dog with her.
Uh-huh.
So this is
her dog was like, do not go in there.
All right, so that's there we go. There's a picture of the toilet that she went into.
It's like an outhouse.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so she got two dog leashes together, and she tried to like somehow fish it out with them because she could see it in there.
How would you grab it with a dog leash? I guess you'd try to...
Desperation. You know how attached we all are to our phones.
My God.
She couldn't get it out, so she linked them together and tethered herself to them and went in to like try and get the phone out, and
she's like lowering herself into the shithole. On a dog leash.
Yeah. Dog leash failed. She went in head first. And then she was stuck in there. So she had to like disassemble the toilet seat and everything to get in. It's
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and
I can hardly bear to think about
it. Oh, I know. I'm imagining this while I was like researching the story. It's like, oh God, this is awful. So she was then stuck in there and couldn't get herself back out. She tried
for like
15 or 20 minutes.
Couldn't
to,
she
to
message
get out.
For help at that point?
She was reunited with her phone. They say, I guess
in
she found
cesspool,
it.
In the cesspool, she was reunited with it.
Yeah, that was what they said. Reunited with her
reunited,
phone.
Reunited, and it smells so bad.
It's like Anita.
Oh my God.
Needs a video. You know.
Oh, it's
people,
you.
Like, because, you know, people's attachments to their phone. It's,
yeah. Oh my
It's like a limb.
God, like, let it go.
Yeah. Oh. So anyway, she called 911 and two fire departments in the area responded, and that in the photo is men from the fire departments that went and rescued her and fished her out of there.
They're like, again? Weren't you up here in this shithole last week? It just made me think of a movie quote, which I got to do real quick.
Okay.
Here, babe. It's an easy one.
Mm.
You guys are going to know it, but it just made me think of it. So that's the way we do these. And the quote is, let it go, Indiana.
Interesting. Oh, I know.
Yeah?
I think I know.
Indiana.
Okay.
Let it go.
So, yeah, they pull her out, and she got...
Unbelievable.
She got hosed off, and they gave her a Tyvek suit.
Tyvek, like, they make, like, insulation.
Right.
Or, like, the stuff that you wrap
yeah.
a house with.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking, like...
A Tyvek suit. I think I know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, like, keep her from freezing.
I guess so.
To keep her
yeah,
warmer.
Yeah, because she must have been...
They hosed her off? Was there a hose? They must have running water there. Maybe they don't. Jeez, what a mess. Oh, my God. What kind of phone was it? If it was a fucking Motorola flip phone... it was a burner phone with no information in it. Once in a while, you got to blow it up, people.
Yeah.
I think you know that. Wow.
No,
this poor woman. But so she got her phone back. She got rescued.
Yep. She got cleaned off, and they insisted that, you know, she should go and seek medical attention.
Right, because she was, like, swimming in a cesspool of shit
human waste
for a long time.
But she said no, and she just took off and headed.
Like,
she was heading home.
We're fine. We're back together and we're okay. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters but you and me.
I think she was too embarrassed.
Yeah, probably.
I think she just headed off. She was on her way back to California. Either that or she was then on her way back to California. I can imagine that would bring your trip to a screeching halt.
Oh,
suddenly.
Good Lord.
Oh,
how's your trip? Well,
why? What did you hear?
yeah,
so she's unidentified.
I dropped my phone in a human cesspool.
Oh, God.
And went in after it. How was your weekend?
But
oh, I had a dentist appointment. It was fucking fantastic by comparison. Holy shit.
But the firefighter they talked to, he said he's been doing it. I think the chief of the fire department, yeah, Tim Manley, said he's been doing this.
Manley? Tim Manley?
Right? Great name for a...
For the chief, fire chief.
Yeah, yeah. He's been doing it for 40 years, and that was a first for him. He'd never seen...
Well, that's
that
good, I guess.
They never had to rescue someone.
But people are crazy for their phones. What else would you go in there after? Family heirloom, a fucking watch.
A family member.
A person?
Be,
yeah.
Yeah
I guess.
Be,
yeah.
I think that's all I can think of. It would have to be.
It just made me think of another movie quote. Your father carried this watch in his ass for 3 years. This uncomfortable hunk of metal. Purposely doing a bad impression but they're just too easy. That one's too easy too.
Nice.
Wow, that poor woman.
Well, yeah, if you've seen the movie.
Yeah, if you haven't, you'd be like, what? Even if you haven't, somebody probably told you about that show.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I feel like it.
Yeah, if you have a Ben Bailey in your
life. I feel like someone would have told you if you saw it or not. Whether you've seen it or not. That was an impression of Jack Palance, whose name I always thought was pronounced Palance, but it's Palance, on this Ripley's Believe It or Not show. Did you guys have that?
No.
Next time on Ripley's Believe It or Not. They had some like really gruesome, nasty shit on that
show.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Some of it was cool. I mean, I was a kid.
But some of it was like ladies falling into toilet pits.
Some of it would be. Nowadays, we're doing it. I guess we're doing it. We're doing the new version.
We've taken over.
A woman to rescue her phone swims in human shit for 2 hours.
God.
Believe it or not. I believe it. I'm ashamed, but I believe it.
Mm.
Wow. Well, I think it's time for us to take a little break. We'll be right back right after this.
Hey, how you doing? You guys doing all right? What'd you come up here for? It's a long walk. I mean, I saw you guys coming from all the way down the bottom. What are you looking for? Oh, you know what? Let me guess. Some wisdom from the old guy on the hill. Hey, let's go talk to the guy with the big eyebrows. He knows all the answers in life. Well, here's what I gotta tell you guys. I don't know nothing. Put the sign down. I just started talking. I don't know nothing, all right? So stop coming up here and asking me stuff, because I don't know anything. You know who has all the answers? Go down to the bowling alley in town. Paulie, who's asleep behind the bowling alley by the dumpster. He told me everything I know, okay? So go talk to Paulie. Stop asking the old wise man on the mountain, because I don't know nothing. And furthermore, I came up here to get away. What part of that do you not understand? It was so difficult to get here. You think that's an accident? Leave me alone. I'm an old guy on a mountain. I came up here to look at the view, not tell you how to live your life. I don't know how to live your life. I don't know how you should live your life. I don't know how to live my own. Leave me alone.
Folks, it's the Big News Show, episode number 14. We are still live from VIX. And I'm liking it. I like VIX Bar. I like having a bar to hang out in.
It is nice.
Just in our basement. It's funny because like I built this thing during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, once we get through this, I'm going to have people over and we can have, we can entertain at the bar. But
Now
it's our set.
Yeah.
So I still haven't really had anyone, like one time we had
people.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe one time, I guess. But
oh, dear. Life is strange now.
Isn't it?
It's definitely, everything has been affected.
Yeah. So different. I mean, yeah. Glad that we're moving through it.
Mm.
But people are still getting it. You know, I have several people I know have it right now or had it in the last several weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I did this little quiz when I went through the weird weekly news things.
They did
a news quiz and they give you multiple choice things.
Right.
I figure out what's going on in the world from it. It's kind of funny. And they were saying that, Philadelphia is, that was the answer, is... You have to wear, it's mandatory to wear masks indoors again because they've had too many many cases,
which
is very disappointing. But, yeah. Anyway, we try to keep things light.
We try to keep things light.
Fun and happy on this show.
Keep it loose.
We're not
going to
dwell on that.
We're not going to dwell on that.
No. We did the two questions first. Do you want to do a second news story?
Oh, we're going to do a second news story. Are you ready for it right now?
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah.
Or
oh,
otherwise,
I'm ready.
We can...
I am ready.
All right.
It's weird, wild, wacky. It's Wednesday. Still not Wednesday. But it's the weird, weekly, wacky news segment that Emma Gleason does. And we call it Emma's Weird, Wild, Wacky Wednesday Weekly World News.
All righty.
Again. Part deux.
Okay. So this was an invention.
Someone invented something.
It's not really newsy, but like, it's news to me. I think it'll be news to you guys.
I think it'll be news to me. Everything's news to me. I never pay attention to the news.
Okay, so there's a place in Japan.
Oh, I knew that.
Where you can go to this shop, right, and you can knit your own socks by riding a stationary bike. and I thought that was pretty cool.
That is fantastic. I think that deserves one of these. Blowing it up.
Nice.
I want you to say that again, just the way you said it was amazing. There's a place in Japan.
Yep.
Where you can...
You can go to
a... You can go to a shop.
There's a shop that you can go to, and you can knit your own socks by riding a stationary bike. There was...
Okay.
Yeah, there's...
Great. I really want to go.
This is... here's a picture for you.
Oh, we've got a pic, too.
That's what
nice.
It looks like. And there's... And you want to see a video?
Hold on. Let me take a look here. All right. So you have a choice of threads and everything.
Yeah. So you pick... You can pick up to 3 different colors. And so during... And here, there's a video.
3 different colors that go into the same sock.
Yes. And...
Now, when you're done, are the socks on your feet or do you have to put them on?
No. So when you're done, you... they... It's just a tube...
Right.
And you'll see in the video, they have to like sew the end of it shut. That's the only bit that he's doing. And then they press them and then you have socks, which is very cool.
You ride a stationary bike and some sort of mechanism that's connected to the bike knits socks for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Here's the video.
Yeah, it wasn't working on my computer.
All right, here we go. Wow, those look like pretty good socks.
Right.
I think that's what that actually says in the Japanese writing. It says pretty good socks. So there he is. He's riding along.
And then that's,
there's a little glance at the shop.
That's the store. So they really remind me of these socks I have. I have these socks.
I know exactly which socks you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're Japanese socks.
I wonder if they were
made... I got them...
On a bike.
My socks predate this.
Right, but this might have been used in factories before it became like a public fun thing.
You know what? There was a...
Right, if they're making good socks and you just have to ride a bike instead of actually knitting.
There was a craze and sock knitting machines were really popular in Japan in the 90s.
Of course, the big sock knitting craze of Japan, 1993 to 97, I think. Yeah, those really look like a pair of your socks.
Yeah, and so mine are made of recycled cotton.
Right.
And they're more than 10 years old, my socks. So someone gave them to me for my birthday a while back. And I was like, socks. And I was like, they're kind of nice. And they really look like the same as they did.
I mean, those look exactly like your socks.
Yeah, right? So...
I can't believe you did a news story about your own socks. Tonight's news brings us to my feet.
But,
That's awesome.
Yeah, so,
I mean,
so
I guess it's like a loom. Normally, it could be powered by anything.
People had these sock-making machines in their home. It was a big craze. And then it sort of passed. And so they found a way to hook the sock-making machine up to a stationary bike. And so you could pedal it and it would do it.
And it will make the socks for you.
Yeah, a few minutes. 10 minutes approximately, you have a pair of socks.
And that's fantastic.
Yeah, and so very cool. And during the pandemic, the manager at the store got a lot of exercise apparently because people couldn't travel and come and do it themselves. And it's a big tourist attraction apparently. So you could go online and pick out your colors and...
Oh, and then they would make them for you.
Yeah, yeah, and have them do it and they'd ship them to you.
He's like, man, I've been on this bike for 12 hours a day. He's ripped.
But I thought that was just very cool.
I think it's awesome.
Mm.
I kind of want to go and make some socks.
And I also found...
I want to go to Japan and make some socks by riding a bike.
Nice.
It was worth it just for you, like, announcing it. I was like, oh my God, it's hilarious. I love it. What else were you going to say?
I also found there was a design student who created a machine that knits a scarf.
Ah, okay.
And he had like...
I would be really impressed with that if I hadn't just heard about the socks.
Yeah.
I'm like, a scarf is just a flat piece of...
and he was encouraging people, same thing, on a bike. And he had it set up at a train station somewhere in Britain.
I was thinking if you did that somewhere in public and had it set up and you could like make someone's socks while they watched, you would probably do pretty good business.
Yeah. So there's a rocking chair that that knits a hat. And then...
A rocking chair that knits a hat?
Yep.
And is this another news item? That seems like another news item.
And then there's the bike that... That knits the scarf, and that's the design student. And then he has had people come along and
order scarves
and do their own.
Oh, they let them do it.
Do it for free.
Yeah, that's better.
So I guess it was part of his.
Very cool. What his, not his the studies. Rocking chair that knits a hat?
Mm-hmm.
What the? It's like, wait, hold on now. You sit in a rocking chair and you rock back and forth.
Yeah, and the motion drives. And the motion drives
the machine, which makes a hat for you.
Yeah, and like the, much like the socks, it needs to be sewn together at the top of when it's done. But
right.
So it's just knitting a tube, but wow. pretty clever.
Super, super clever.
Yeah.
Really fun, babe.
Very interesting.
Yep. And now, this.
Here's what I do. If you're Skyping with someone and it's boring the balls off you, just pretend the connection went bad and freeze right up. It's... You really have to commit. I mean... Once you're in, there's no going back. But if you stay with it, it'll work, I swear. You really have to believe and... Just do it like mid-sentence, you know? Just be like, oh, really? Did you... If you hold it long enough, they'll believe it, you know? Because it happens anyway. My aunt, she'll be like, 3 seconds in, she's like, you're not moving! She starts freaking out like we were having some civilization-saving conversation. You're not moving at all, and I cannot hear what you are saying! I'm still home. If you've done it a few times, you could work into like some other of that weird like feedback kind of. She's freaking out. You're not moving at all. I can't hear you and you're not moving. I'm holding it. Fucking dog walks by.
Folks, it is the Big News Show, episode 14, and we are already an hour and 24 minutes in. Those of you who are listening to this as a podcast, thank you very much. Please tell others that enjoy podcasts that this show is now available as a podcast on Audio Boom.
And
so it's also on Apple Podcasts.
Anywhere you listen to podcasts.
It's available everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you guys want to listen to the Big News Show while you're working or driving or whatever it is, you can do that now. And it'd be great if you would start. Just put it on no matter what you're doing. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Or recommend it to people, other people that you think might like it.
365 days a year, night and day. yeah, it's out there if you guys want to listen to it. Audio Boom.
Oh, and they could give us a review if they like
it. You could give us a review.
Give us a good review. I don't think we have any reviews yet.
I think we have one. We might have one review.
Oh, we do?
I think we have one review.
I hope it's good.
I'm not sure. And I'm on Cameo, too, guys. At this, they finally got me to do Cameo, and I did.
It took a lot of prodding and poking.
They're like, you should sign up. But I did it, and it's actually been kind of cool.
Yeah.
So you guys, I'll share that too. I need to share it to the social media. But if you guys, some people from that have asked while watching this show or working from home, could, you know, what? How do we get you to make a video or whatever for somebody? That's how. It's on Cameo. Mm-hmm. And my name is Ben Bailey. And this is the big news show, episode number 14, and we're coming to a close here. We're already an hour and 25 minutes in, which means it's time for Sunday. Pretty much every day of the year, especially Sundays, is if not one, two, three, four, five, or six bizarro holidays. And we've developed this segment, which we call Sunday, to celebrate those holidays. I'm sure that today is no exception.
It is absolutely not.
Oh, that sounds like we got some good ones for sure.
All right. So May is National Pet Month.
National Pet Month.
Not a national day, but a month.
I like that.
Yeah.
A whole month for the pets.
Yeah. 80 million homes in America have an animal family member.
80 million.
80 million.
That doesn't seem like that many.
But that's not the number of pets, because about half of those households have more than one.
Right.
So.
But 80 million out of how many households are there? I mean, it's not the same as population, right?
I don't know.
Maybe it is a lot.
but that's like, even if half of them only had two pets, that would be 120 million pets. And
if half of them only had...
So half of them have more than one.
If only half had two.
If that half only had two,
right,
that'd be 120 million pets.
I mean, I wouldn't want to look after them all for a weekend. I'm just saying, I might have expected a higher number.
But as you know, a lot of households have more than two.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Yep. So May is National Pet Month.
Yeah.
And what are we supposed to do for our pets?
Celebrate how important our pets are.
We do that every day. I'm like, Sparks, you're the best man.
They say they make our social media much more entertaining. But this is...
They sure do.
But this is my caveat.
Excuse me. Oh, there's a caveat.
Yeah. I was like, don't... Just because they make social media more entertaining. I'm just thinking about that woman who was so attached to her phone, she had to fish it out of... human waste.
Yeah. Well said.
If you think that having a pet would be good for your social media, that's not a good reason to get a pet. Like,
that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Don't get a pet that is just going to be your little photo subject.
Yeah.
And you're not going to actually give it a nice life.
A lot of work. They need a lot of attention.
It's sure. The modern equivalent of a guy getting a pet to try to get laid.
Yeah.
Is that in something where a guy just carries a leash around? Make people think he's a dog.
Oh, that's funny. I know.
Like,
when,
where's the dog?
I know when Friends, Joey got the Porsche gear, like the hat and the jacket and stuff, to have people think that he was a Porsche owner because he was looking after some guy's Porsche for him or something, and he got all this attention because these girls thought that he owned it.
Right.
And... yeah, so then he was pretending he had one for a long time.
That only happens in TV shows, I think.
Is that your Porsche?
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I...
I never had one. So wait, is that one of our... National Pet Month is one of our holidays. Okay.
Yes. Pets are a lot of work. I'm sure there's a lot of people who've gone back to work after getting a pet during the pandemic who are realizing how much work they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when they're little ones.
Yeah, so adopt if you can.
Adopt a pet.
Adopt me, meaning rescue if you can.
Rescue if you can, yeah.
All pets are adopted. We don't give birth to any of them.
This is true. Blowing that up. I got to blow that up.
All right. And we have another national month. Day?
We have 1 month. We have National Pet Month.
And then we have... Date Your Mate Month.
Date Your Mate Month?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly? Do we have any explanation of that one?
Yeah. It's...
Mate.
Relationships take work, be it standing up for your partner, understanding them, or keeping the romance alive. So they're basically suggesting...
That we have a date night kind of thing, or a month of it?
That you go back to acting the way that you did when you were first dating your partner or significant other.
We're not going to have much time for anything else.
I know, it's busy the early time in relationships, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It
sure is.
Stop. So the goal is to bring back the romance and reignite the spark that to strengthen your relationship.
All right, I like that.
I kind of like this one. You know, I'm not a big fan of Valentine's Day. And having like a prescribed day that you...
It'd be a lot easier to get into it if everything wasn't five times as expensive on that day.
Yeah.
All the stuff for that day. Like, you have to buy this.
Right. And
today, it costs $100 instead of $30.
And yeah, and it just seems so commercial. And I feel like, you know, people think like, oh, just be romantic on this day and then screw the
right.
rest of them.
Yeah.
But this is sort of saying, you know, like, and it's definitely talking about ways, finding, you know, fun and inexpensive ways to show that you care. Which
I
think is appropriate because a lot of people are dating when they're young and poor.
I got another movie quote.
That can be a lot of fun.
That can be a lot of fun. Yeah. Sorry. It just reminded me of...
No, it's cool.
If you give this guy $1,500, I'm going to shoot him just on principle.
Oh, yeah. I know that one.
Yep. A lot of people do, but, mm-hmm. you know, we put them up as they come to mind.
As you say...
Date your mate.
The easy questions are the ones you know the answers to.
Yeah, they're easy if you know the answer.
Yeah.
And if you don't, they're impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So it is luck of the draw, mm-hmm. absolutely. That's All what right. I used to say to people about Cash Cab.
Yeah.
And it was true.
So true.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Mm, right.
Do you have the hiccups?
I did just then.
Do I need to scare the bejesus
no,
out of you?
No, thank you. I'll be good.
Are you sure?
I'll behave.
I love it when people get the hiccups. I
no.
get to frighten them. Just kidding. I think that might have scared you enough. Just
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's two.
Okay, and the third,
date your mate,
third one.
Pet month, date your mate month.
Mm-hmm. And National Lumpy Rug Day. They say this one holds a few different interpretations. For some, it could mean, you know, it's time to do a bit of spring cleaning.
I'll say. And you can feel lumps in the rug. National Lumpy Rug Day.
And either clean or replace your worn-out rugs. And for others, they say it's about appreciating our old comforting rugs and things. And for other people, it could be metaphorical about, you
well,
know,
those are very different interpretations.
I
some people
know.
Are like,
these...
shuck the rugs. And some people
yeah.
are like, appreciate the old rugs.
Yeah, these days are like...
But I like it that there's actually a holiday called National Lumpy Rug Day.
Yeah, and the third one is metaphorical about like sweeping things under the rug and
oh.
emotionally...
We're supposed to do that or we're not supposed to do that?
No, and they're saying like, you know, clean that shit up.
I've been doing that wrong for years.
Deal with your issues. Take a look at things.
National Lumpy Rug Day.
So, yeah, whatever it means to you, it's time to let go of the old and invite in the new.
All right, folks. You heard the days. Now here comes the fun part. This weekend. And for four more weekends after that, because it's months instead of days. It's National Pet Month. Hold your pet close and tell them how much they mean to you because they're awesome and you know it. Your life would suck without them. Now go out on a date with your mate and bring back that spark. Have sex five times a day like you did when you were first together because it's Date Your Mate Month. And now lay down on the lumpy rug and go, wow, I love this lumpy rug. It's so lumpy.
Okay, that wasn't me doing the, the wheezy laugh that time.
I know, it was me. It's crazy.
It's catching, this wheezy laugh.
It is. Oh, man,
Maybe
oh, man.
It's all the wind and pollen.
It's me, and I lost my voice a little bit over
yeah,
the weekend
that's
in,
true.
In Spokane, mm-hmm. doing Spokane word poetry. I've had a dumb joke in my head since I've been planning to go to Spokane.
Oh, yeah.
And I just finally got to use it. Aren't you lucky, everyone? Guys, that is it. This has been episode number 14 of The Big News Show. I'm Ben Bailey.
And I'm Emma Gleason.
And we will see you next week for episode number 15. We will not see you. All right, this week's movie quotes for Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Sean Connery as Henry Jones, Pulp Fiction, Christopher Walken as Captain Coons, and Pulp Fiction, John Travolta as Vincent Vega.